Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, next year is set to be a turning point for South Africa's energy sector and equities market, with energy reform front and centre and the pending deregulation of Eskom already reshaping the landscape. The country faces both risks and opportunities, and add to that the global ripple effects of Donald Trump's trade and tariff policies, and it is clear that we're heading into a high-stakes year for local markets. So let's look at the energy side of that equation. I'm in conversation now with Tana Mongwe, Head of Responsible Investment Research at Old Mutual Investment, to break down the critical shifts in energy reform and maybe what the outlook is for equities in 2025. What I want to do is just try and make a link between those two big issues. So Tana, good evening to you and welcome. So maybe let's start with the most immediate impact of this deregulation of Eskom on the energy market. This is a good thing, right?
Hi, Jeremy, and thank you very much, and good evening to your listeners. Yes, this is a very, very good thing. Energy market reforms, trying to get more private participation within generation, is a critical thing for South Africa. And I mean, reform, it's not a new thing. It's a journey that we've been on, I think, since 1998 now. But with Operation Vulindlela, the establishment of the NECOM, the unbundling of Eskom, well, right now just the transmissions company, and I think importantly, the Electricity Regulation Act, which was put into law in August of this year, and the market code that followed it, have just accelerated the energy reforms in the South African market, and it is a good thing.
So can you amplify for me a little bit, and as simply as you can, what impact it's going to have on competition and private sector participation?
Yes, Jeremy. So the idea right now is Eskom being a monopoly in generation, and this year we've luckily had over 250 days without any load shedding. But load shedding, we've experienced this since 2008. We felt the worst of it in 2023. And Eskom itself being the monopoly, but under significant financial difficulty to ensure energy security for our country, we actually just need to bring in private participation. It's not something that is unique to South Africa. Many countries globally who have reformed the electricity markets have done so by opening up the industry to private competition, particularly in generation. And in South Africa, we are lucky to have some of the best wind and some of the best solar. So it's an environment that allows for private participation in this market to improve generation, to improve security, but even fundamentally to rather align with our decarbonization goals as a coal-heavy economy going into 2050 with our net zero commitments, the just transition commitments, and our Paris Agreement commitments. So I think this just is aligned with that entire goal around energy security, affordable electricity, and decarbonization.
Now, Tana, underpinning all of this is the development of the market code. It's an integral part of the new electricity supply paradigm. And you'll tell me, I guess, the rules are going to reshape South Africa's energy future. Are there risks within that process, and where do the opportunities lie?
There are risks and opportunities, and I think we can learn from the global experience. Fundamentally, opening up to the market to competition and allowing the wholesale price of electricity to be dependent on demand and supply does have its benefits, and it can come at a cost. And the big thing around this is just that Eskom is still the biggest generator of electricity in South Africa, 90% of that. So the market code does stipulate that for the first 5 years, once the market launches in April 2026, which is the current earmark date, Eskom and municipalities would be in a five-year transitional period where they would not be active participants in the market per se, but obviously they would influence the market by just having sufficient capacity to for market prices to adjust accordingly. But what is interesting about the market code is that it allows for the cheapest energy to be dispatched first, and that is renewable energy as opposed to thermal generation. So this, what is expected is that it should lower the wholesale price of electricity, and it should actually create stability in the dispatch of electricity, as well as the transmissions company of South Africa would, a day ahead, they would know how much supply would be in the market and how much demand that would be matched with, and the price would balance accordingly. Of course, post the transitional period, assuming, I mean, we can assume that we'd have a lot more IPP generation, and this is a fair assumption in a market where we have the resources of solar and wind and the opportunity to play and to increase private generation. But I think Eskom would still be a significant player, and that's when the economics of this might become a bit of an issue. In other global markets, we've seen, you know, wholesale electricity prices coming down and then starting to inch up. Eskom is still state-owned, even though it would be unbundled. Generation would still belong to the state. So I think it would bring a lot of issues in terms of a fully competitive market if you still have a big enough player in terms of Eskom generation. And I think another fundamental issue is just that to get enough private participation, you need a grid. You need grid capacity, and that still remains a structural issue for South Africa. Under the latest plan, the Transmissions Development Plan, we speak about, you know, we need to build out 14,000 kilometers of grid capacity, and this comes at an enormous cost, and we're not even close to scratching the surface in terms of what infrastructure we've been building up so far. And the wholesale electricity market only works if we can get enough private generation, private capacity into the system. But for that, you need a big enough grid, a stable grid, and access to the grids. I think market reform is a great idea, and it's a great policy, and it's accelerating what we need as a country to secure our energy needs. But I think there are a few challenges that we need to overcome before we can get there in a fully competitive way.
Now, Tana, for investors down the line, obviously there is money to be made. So I'm interested in asking you then how these energy reforms would affect valuation of companies who would be playing in that space, who are either participating or are providing.
So I think any competitive market gives opportunity, especially if you've got a monopoly that is opening up to competition. There are opportunities to make returns. I think currently in South Africa, a lot of the renewable energy companies that have come up have been signing these long-term power purchase agreements with Eskom or other off-takers through wheeling agreements. The prices weren't fully transparent in that kind of way. And we've seen with the cost of renewable energy coming down that the returns for some of these projects have also been coming down, which kind of disincentivizes investment. However, if you do have a market where the pricing is allowed to be, you know, driven by supply and demand, investors can look at that and actually make appropriate investment decisions, long-term decisions, because, you know, solar plants, wind farms, these are 20-year-old investments. So I think understanding how the market would evolve needs a little bit more of some policy clarification before we can actually see investment into the space. But I think in a market that, you know, you can actually see supply and demand and how the price adjusts around that, as investors in this market, it's an opportunity to actually make returns that aren't tied to long-term contracts, right, but actually just tied to, you know, supply and demand.
Which I guess begs the final question then, are there specific sectors or even companies on the JSE that would benefit the most from energy deregulation and reform?
The most obvious actually are companies within the mining sector who themselves have been bigger players in the independent generation space. And this has been just because of the decades-long of load shedding that we've had, that they've had to go into the space and actually invest in their own private generation for their own decarbonization goals, to reduce the cost of energy for themselves. But I think that was just a proactive strategy to support their own and to protect their own balance sheets, whereas now there's a new market that actually opens up for them that they can actually be players in a competitive way. So I think that's quite interesting. But I think we're also seeing a lot more new companies emerging. We're seeing licenses for distribution being awarded by NERSA to incoming small companies. It's still a very small market, but I think we're going to see a bigger market over the next decade with renewable energy companies playing in this space. I mean, we've seen Discovery Green, which is still quite small at the moment, but it's interesting to see what will happen with that company revenue over the next decade once it becomes a bigger player in this competitive market. And it'll actually be quite interesting to see the new companies that emerge within South Africa because of this as a result.
I'm going to leave it there with my appreciation and thanks. Tana Mongwe, Head of Responsible Investment Research at the Old Mutual Investment Group. Thank you very much indeed.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.